deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 46 of Flashpoint. It's always a pleasure to be here, and particularly when I've got these two people here with me. First, Simon, how are you, mate?
I am incredibly awesome. And don't want to talk myself up, though.
And you feel, I just got to say, it's obvious you're incredibly awesome. Just say, how are you feeling, though? Are you well?
Oh, about 32 degrees, I think.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And it's great pleasure. We had some really good feedback after our last podcast where Christy joined us, and Christy's back with us this week. And unless she runs screaming out of the room or I've misunderstood her, she's probably going to be a regular co-host on Flashpoint. Christy, great to have you back.
Thank you. And I do prefer the co-host.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you are. Very much a co-host. Just think of it like Bert Newton and Don Lane. And I don't know who the third person is. Was there a third person? I'm raving again, aren't I, Simon?
Yeah.
Plus,
Ed McMahon could be the third person. No, maybe not.
And the sad thing is half the people listening won't even know Don Lane, and that makes me sad. But anyway, so let's jump into Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
I know most of us, as I say, gee, there's been a lot to talk about over the last fortnight, but it's particularly the case this episode because in Star Wars, The Old Republic Land 1.5 dropped, which, you know, aside from it being a content update, is actually the big transition over to the free-to-play model. So it went live on, it's a blur now, is it Thursday? It wasn't the normal maintenance time, was it?
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah. So I know all three of us have actually had some quality time since it's dropped. So I'm going to start with you, Simon. Just let us know where you're up to with your tunes and what you've thought of things so far.
Well, I had a couple of approaches to it. I've obviously just kept my subbed account going, and also started up a fresh account for doing free to play just to see what the contrast was. Let's talk about the free to play one first. Actually, it's pretty good. It's the cash drop is obviously there, and they do remind you in various little ways that hey, if you were subbed, you wouldn't have to put up with this, or you'd have access to, well, Sprint, for instance, at level 1 instead of having to wait till level 15. But considering I had to wait to level 15 anyway when I was originally playing the game, it doesn't really seem to be that much of a problem. And I don't think anyone new to the game is going to have an issue with it either, because it's really very much a case of you don't know what you don't know. If it's not something that you had and then had pulled, it's not really going to be an issue. So I don't think it's going to affect anyone who's a newbie. What was it now? I think Tython, there was 139 people running around the Origin world there, which I thought was pretty good. Frame rate seemed to be fine. Didn't notice any particular lag. I was surprised that the servers weren't reporting higher numbers. Not so much on the starter world. I mean, 139 is not bad when you think about it. And there's probably going to be a fairly steady stream of people coming to it. I don't think everyone probably, all the potential newcomers wouldn't have jumped on board on the first day, I wouldn't think.
That's a really good point about the server pops, though, and I know even the websites cop some flack about not covering the server issue in context of the free-to-play. So, you know, Tython, you're saying good numbers. When I logged in yesterday afternoon and last night, so Saturday, which is one of the busier times, Fleet had about 70 on it. And then I was I actually logged in on my consular and doing some old quests, doing some what do you call it, the extra series on some of the planets. I was on Alderaan.
Oh, the bonus series.
Yeah, the bonus series, that's the one. There were only about, I think about 40, 38 or 40 people on Alderaan at the time. So I think it's definitely boosted the populations, but it's compared to some of the US servers, I don't doubt it's still a little bit quiet.
Yeah. What was it? The PvE and RPPvE servers, the APAC ones, were both reporting standard, and the PvP one was light, which isn't really a surprise because the PvP ones are the ones that seem to have had people running screaming most consistently. So there wasn't, but I was expecting not wait times, but I thought one, at least one of them might report heavy on a Sunday evening.
Yeah, well, actually, I was expecting wait times, and you're right. It just seems less than what I would have thought.
Yeah, well, even on the North American ones, because I jumped on about 7 a.m. On the Thursday. Was it the Thursday or the Friday? I can't remember. When it had just come live after the extended downtime. And only one of the U.S. servers was reporting a less than 5 minute wait time. And I think one of them was very heavy.
Okay.
But none of them were reporting full. Most of them were standard or heavy, though. So, I mean, yeah, that's definitely still a boost. And it will probably continue to build, I would think, over the next week.
And it'll be interesting to see how much promotion they do. I can tell you likely there's been zero promotion, and I even had to laugh. We obviously knew that it was moving over on the day it was. Eric Musco from BioWare sent through some information at the same time it went out to the gaming press, because he's been trying to give websites a little bit more access to that stuff. Although, all he did, and that's not a criticism, it's all he could do, was attach the EA press release. Now, that came through about midnight or 1 a.m. our time on the morning of launch, and EA Australia sent it through to me exactly 12 hours later. So, you know, and how many sites picked that up? The odd person definitely wouldn't. Your Gizmodos through to your Kotakus and that would have. But, yeah, I think you're right. It'll be a slower burn.
Yeah. And that you raise a valid – well, you raise a good point in that how many sites are left.
Well,
because there's very few fan sites left, and most of those fan sites aren't getting much in the way of support, even the larger ones. So, again, this is effectively a relaunch of the game, and there's nothing there.
No, I mean they've burnt. Yeah, look, a lot of the fan sites have burned out. I mean, you've got Tor Wards and Darth Vader is the big two. You've got Corellian Run Radio, Mos Eisley Radio. See, we don't even count really anymore because we expanded MMO. So as far as Star Wars The Old Republic specific, there's a couple of other smaller ones. That's it. And I think partly through BioWare's fault and the other part through EA, they've burnt a lot of them out. And you're right, there's not a lot to go to. And Christy, I know you've spent a bit of time. Well, have you found it?
I found it to be pretty good, actually. I was expecting it to be more in your face, but I found the little reminders that you should subscribe to be very discreet. They're there. They're reminding you constantly of it, but it's not just there. You know, you can actually play and you even forget that you're actually a free-to-player. I like that we got to keep our characters. So I created a level one Jedi of a race and class I can't do anymore on a preferred count, but because I'd already created her back on one of those free reactivation weekends, it meant that I get to play her. Yay! I was going to say one thing I loved was that we didn't have to delete our old characters because there is only a 2-character limit on a preferred and free-to-play account. But then I saw a tweet, whatever you call them, saying that they actually haven't activated that yet. So we'll have to see what happens. Okay. I would prefer them to give us more, or even give us the option to buy more, because that's something I would do. I would definitely pay for more character slots. The things that stuck out for me the most is the 2-action bar restriction, and I won't go into that because you just have to, you know, look at anything free to play, and everyone's complaining about that. And the 5 medical probes, so you can only, you know, res on the fly 5 times before you have to buy more. And I died 3 times on Friday night, so I can't see me surviving much more longer. All 3 of them were very, very stupid deaths. One was an AFK and I thought it was safe. One was an elite guy, or the gold guys, that I bit off a bit more than I could chew. And the other one was I aggroed more than I wanted to. So all 3 of those deaths. So a normal person probably won't have as much trouble as I do. But, yeah, you see, you know, you're always like, oh, crap, now I'm down to 3 medical probes. And after that, I'm going to have to buy more. Couple of things I found. The preferred and free play don't get rested XP. You can't log out in wherever it is you log out and you get rested XP. Okay. So because you're already getting less XP than a subscriber, I'm not sure how that's going to work. I like it because I get to log out anywhere now. I don't feel like I have to go back to town to log out. But yeah, because when I was leveling my character up, I got to level 11 and I noticed the subscribers around me were level 13. So obviously they've gained 2 more levels on me with their extra experience, and I'm a bit worried that that's going to be an exponential thing. And then so if you're on a free to play or preferred, then I would definitely recommend doing all those bonus missions, and make sure you do the bonus mission before you do the actual mission, because if you do the actual mission before completing the bonus mission, then you can't finish the bonus mission. So yes, do that. When I was going for the beginning area, I was actually under level 10, so I had to do a couple of more things before I could pick my my advanced class. So, yeah, make sure you do those bonus missions. And the free-to-play and the preferred can't do digital security keys. So you're only allowed to do the physical ones, which I'm not
Like you mean the authenticated?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, I'm not a big fan of the digital ones because I actually had one on my old phone and my phone died, so I had to call up Star Wars support and get my account unlocked. So, yeah, that's a little disturbing, though. I kind of like to have the security.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't see the point of making a demarcation based on the authenticators based on subscriber or not. That just seems silly.
Yeah, I have heard that if you go subscribe and then you drop back. So anyone who's subscribing now who wants to drop it, if you want to put the security key on it, put it on now before you drop your sub. So the hidden helm as well, that confuses me. You have to pay to be able to hide your helm. And since I like to play a race that has big things coming out of their heads, there's always that clipping issue. I was quite disappointed in the shop as well. Like, I'm someone who loves to spend money. You know, being a girl, I like shiny things. I love to spend money in the cash shops and nothing.
I wanted to talk cartel market, so that's a good point. So starting with you, yeah, so there was nothing that particularly appealed?
No, the only thing that remotely appealed to me was a little pink mount that you could buy at level 10 and get the legacy. And then I read they had a thing on the launcher actually saying that at the moment it gives you account legacy for piloting, so you could, you know, get your scooters at level 10. But that's not right. It's actually only meant to be character base. So, yeah, that was the only thing that appealed to me. And then when I found out that it was account, character instead of account, I was a bit and I don't know, like some of the race unlocks and other unlocks I would be interested in, but seeing I can only have 2 characters, it kind of seems like, so why should I unlock the race when I can only make 2? You know, it seems a bit expensive considering. Mm.
And we'll talk about the news that the Cathar will be purchasable only on the cartel market a little bit later. But Simon, what did you have a browse through the cartel market?
Yes, I did.
lame-ass? Because my impression, to be upfront, was that it was lame. I mean, there's some, if you really like vanity stuff, there's some stuff there, but that's about it.
There's not a lot in there at the moment. I think there will be. I would imagine most money is going to be spent on those packs, the two packs, because everyone wants the throne. Actually, no, I'll just leave it at that. Everyone wants the throne. I want it too. I think that looks kind of awesome. The Darth Nihilus mask, in all honesty, I always thought it looked like something for a female character, so that I could live without. But I don't know what the drop rate on any of these very rare, or what was it? One of the Star Wars videos, they called it amazingly unique items. Well, for it to be unique in any situation, that means there's going to be one of them. And if you've tried to buy packs, card packs to get any of these things, you probably come to the conclusion there probably will only be one of them, because you get a lot of crap. Well, it's purple crap, but it's still crap. There's only so many weird pet things and mounts that all look suspiciously similar that I really want. There were a couple of things in there I thought were quite good. I managed to get riding 3, skill level 3, whatever it's called.
Oh, okay, yep.
Which was really handy. It meant I didn't have to spend the credits on it. I could just spend part of the 3,000 odd cartel coins they gave me. So that was good. It meant I could then go and blow the money I'd saved, and I bought my Imperial Trooper armor, which I've been eyeing for a long time from the collector's edition vendor. So I was quite chuffed about that. I don't think for a starting point, I don't think it's too bad. I can't really see there being anything in there that any diehard players are going to be terribly interested in.
No. And I mean, I know they've said the focus of, or one of the focuses of content development will be getting more and more stuff in there. But my worry is that if it's mostly vanity stuff that, well, you know, how much do you need, and is it going to come at the expense of other stuff? But we'll have to wait and see.
Possibly, but I seem to recall an interview some time ago where the monetization team, which would be the ones that would be handling the shop and the stuff to go in it, are different from the actual content development strike forces.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think the stuff that goes into the shop is going to be detracting or taking away from any of the content development. So I don't think we need to worry about that too much at this point.
And just the cynic in me, though, says that I absolutely agree that they've said that there are two different teams. It's just a team's a nice metaphor. It's easy to knock lots of people from one team to another and still say you've got separate teams.
So that's true, yes.
But yeah, you're right. They're saying it's separate. I know Dolphy.net had a nice little interview up with Damien Schubert just in the last few days, and he alluded to that again. But also segues into what I said before. He mentioned that the Cathar will only be buyable on the cartel market, which I don't know how I feel about that. I actually think it sucks in some ways, in that I think things like specie should be available to subscribers. Yeah, I don't know. Chrissy, I really don't know. I'm sitting on the fence with that one.
Well, yeah, but that's part of the as a sub, there are certain things in there. I don't know if you had a look in any of the emotes menu. I suspect probably a lot of people haven't bothered. But there are new emotes in there, and most of those have got the little cartel shop. Sorry. Please excuse the clock.
We should allude to this future episode. Simon has a really cool – is it actually a grandfather clock?
No, it's a mantle clock, but I think it's from the 1930s.
It's cool. I like it. It adds atmosphere.
Right. Like a smoke machine.
Yeah.
So some of the new emotes have got the cartel shop symbol by them. So there's things in there that – there are things in the new version of the game that you can't get unless you buy it, or you end up getting it in one of the card packs. Like I got a new emote in one of the card packs, so that's how I found that out. But I suspect there's a bunch of little tidbits in there that even if you are a sub, you are going to have to pay, or it might, if it's considered part of the DLC, then maybe it'll be available free to existing subscribers and purchasable for everyone else. A bit like the HK51, you can purchase the quest from the shop if you're not a subscriber, but if you're a subscriber, it's free.
Mm.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have to, as subs, we're going to have to pay for it, but we might have to go through the shop to get it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Christy, what are your thoughts on the whole species and only being viable on the cartel market?
I don't mind it. The biggest one I have at the moment is the races that I could access, I can't access anymore. But, yeah, these guys, considering I'm a crazy cat lady, I would totally definitely be buying them, except for the whole two-character slot thing. Let me buy an extra slot and then I will buy him. I'm trying to give you money here, BioWare. Just let me give you money.
Yeah, because you can't buy an extra slot at the moment. And my guess, not knowing any of the technical infrastructure, is probably linked in with the ability to transfer characters and that as well, which they've said is still the ability to do on-the-spot transfers is still a ways off, so let alone buying a slot, although you think they're going to work on that if it makes good money.
I'm kind of hoping that with the two slots, when they enforce it, we can, like City of Heroes has a thing where you would pick which characters you want to use. So if you had, you know, four or five slots as a subscriber, when you went to the free to play, when you stopped subscribing, all you had to do was say, all right, I want to play that one and I want to play that one. So it locks the other ones out, but you don't have to delete them. So you could always come back to them later. I'm hoping they're going to do something like that, but I don't think they are, because the way the characters are showing, it has, you know, that I've got three of two slots, which makes me think I'm going to have to delete.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can.
It's possible they've changed it, but I do seem to recall that prior to launch, they were saying that you would be able to select from, if you have pre-existing characters and there's more than two of them, you'd be able to select which ones you'd be able to play. So unless something's changed, I think you'll find that they're going to bring in a system like that. That's my understanding anyway.
I would even pay, like, if they said, all right, we'll pay 500 coins and you can unactivate one and activate a new one, you know, because once you get two characters up to level 50, I don't think you'd be wanting to get rid of one to create a new character.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, that'll become a bigger and bigger issue as time goes on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Actually, just going back to the whole buying Cathar, I'm just thinking I don't really have a problem with that if they bring in other races as well. Like if that means that that's how I get my Rodian or my Trandoshan, I'm more than happy for them to charge for additional races if that means I get the races I want to play not just humans with crap on their face.
I must admit, and I'm not being silly here, if I could be a Jawa, I would totally buy that.
Oh, who's gotten sick of their party Jawa yet?
Yeah, I've only activated mine a couple of times, but after the second time, I was like, yeah, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I've only seen one person running around with it, so either I'm surrounded by free-to-players or people aren't using them.
Yeah, I think it might be the second one.
Yeah,
it did look very like it was very in your face. You couldn't hide from it. I think after about 5 minutes, I'd be like, "Oh God, go away!"
Yeah,
it would also have been nice if they'd been able to get some sort of animation into him, rather than just being a frozen model that just kind of orbits you.
Yeah, it felt like a bit of a Jawa on a stick sort of thing.
Yeah, it felt like a frozen Jawa on a stick.
There's the name for the episode. Thank you, Simon.
Oh, you're welcome.
Frozen Jawa on a stick. I like it. None of us have got into the HK51 stuff, and I know unless things have changed, it's quite a lengthy quest line. I can't see myself doing that for a long time. Are either of you got an active plan to get into that?
Yes, because I'm already on Belsavis, so I'm planning to do that as part of my messing around on that planet. I've heard it's not as long as or as epic as we might previously have been led to believe.
Okay.
So it might be worth having a look at, but after I get into that, I'll let you know without spoiling anything.
As long as it was more epic than the world event whose name I can't even remember.
Yes, I believe it is. It is slightly more epic than that, yes.
Excellent. Christy, you going for HK51 or not fast?
Oh, that's way, way down the track. If I get to that point, I probably will because I'll have to buy the unlock. But, I'm just still trying to level up my little Jedi.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Oh, look, for all you know, you will become so entranced you may be subbing by that point.
And yeah.
Did that sound sincere?
that will be the absolutely most fascinating thing to see whether subscriber numbers grow over the next 6 months, in that how many are they converting, and also how much of overall numbers grow, and they, you know, are they successful enough to the point they say, well, we don't actually care about the subscriber conversions, we're making good money out of the FTPers and things are going well. That's what we can all hope, I suppose.
Yeah, well, there's bound to be a few whales in there. So, I mean, that'll help. But in all honesty, as long as the subscriber numbers don't drop much more than they have, say they've settled in already, it doesn't really matter whether the subscriber numbers go up too dramatically. As long as people, the free-to-players, come in and they're buying a thing here and they're buying a thing there. And why wouldn't you? I mean, there's some things there where you could continue doing free-to-play and just get a few quality-of-life things in there. Mind you, if you're buying too many things, I think it works out far more effective to just subscribe. It's cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking as long as they can make it so that you can subscribe and then you can stop subscribing and then you can subscribe, so you can sort of jump between the subscriber and the preferred level very easily, I could see it. Because, you know, if I'm playing it a lot, I'll probably subscribe for a month, but then I will be, you know, I'll get, you know, distracted by the next shiny, you know, the secret world or WoW or something like that. So I'll stop, but I'll still play it as a preferred. And then I'll jump back up, so I'll subscribe for a month again. So I think as long as they make it so you can easily go between the two, if they make it so that every time I drop the sub, I'm, you know, to the point I can't play with my wonderful characters, then I will probably just, like, whatever, you know, and forget about it like I did back in March this year.
Well, that's a great point, and it's one area that I think BioWare and this game are really, really struggling, and it's unfair to compare it to WoW because it's 8 years old this week. They're having the 8th WoW anniversary, and we'll talk about that later. But it's, you know, in WoW you can, although there's no free-to-play option, it's easy to transfer characters. It's all done online. All the account management stuff is very easy to do now, and it is just not easy to do still in Star Wars The Old Republic, and they've got a lot of catching up there to do, and hopefully they'll do it sooner rather than later to do exactly what you want, because they're better off picking up 3 months out of 12 subscriber fees if it's an easy-to-do thing rather than someone sitting on free-to-play for 12 months.
Yeah, definitely. That's always been my big gripe with the PTS, is there's no pre-builds and you can't update or transfer your character over so that you can have a crack at some of the high-level content. Everything has got anything you've managed to transfer over before, and none of my transfers ever worked in the one opportunity we had to try doing that. But anyone who did manage to, unless they're spending a ridiculous amount of time on the PTS, their characters are woefully out of date anyway. So I don't understand why it's such a big problem, but perhaps some clue to that might be, I think it was, what's his name now? Damn it, I've forgotten it. Anyway, one of the big wigs at BioWare conceded in a community press event, I think, last week, that basically their existing engine can't handle large groups of players.
Yeah, that was in the Dolphy.net interview with Damien Schubert. Or it might have been the Community Cantina one. You're right.
It was the Community Cantina, yeah. And it was, what's his, damn it, Dallas Dickinson, that's it.
Dallas Dickinson, yeah.
Yeah, which, of course, explains Ilum quite nicely. The fact that you had you didn't have a frame rate, you had a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, and I mean, they say they're working on it, but they can't give an ETA. I mean, the community cantina stuff was full of, yeah, we're looking at that, or but we yeah, don't know when.
Coming soon, Tim.
The other illuminating thing compared to a year ago in the lead up to launching the game is that they got 60 people at the one, was it in Austin? Anyway, wherever it was.
Yeah.
They're pretty low numbers. Even if you look at the Guild Summit, which was, when was that? February, March this year, where they had hundreds. It's just, it shows you that they've got a lot of rebuilding to do.
Yeah. And hopefully this is the low point from which everything starts to pick up. Because let's face it, although there's a lot of great things in the game, they have managed to F an awful lot of stuff up.
Indeed. So there you go. There's the Star Wars The Old Republic roundup for the week. We've all played. We've got Christy as the free-to-play. We've got Simon with two both accounts, and I'm still a subscriber. So we'll obviously still be covering that in a lot of detail. And look, I admit, the last fortnight's the most time I've spent in SWTOR in the last probably 3 months, and I've had a ball. So he's hoping it continues for all of us.
I was, when I created my new Jedi Consular, I was amazed that no one had picked the name Derpster.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
So I did.
As you should.
Yeah, so if you see a Jedi Consular bunny hopping down the road towards you, probably me.
Excellent. All right, so let's move on to Guild Wars 2. This is perhaps going to be our last official Guild Wars 2 segment, and I'll explain why in a minute, and it's also going to be very short anyway this week. So last episode I asked for community feedback from our listeners on covering Guild Wars 2, and we do get a bit of feedback each fortnight, which is always appreciated, and I'm pleased to say that we had zero feedback on this issue. So no one seems to give a rat's ass whether we cover Guild Wars 2 or not. So unless I hear anything after this episode, we're probably going to drop it, although I feel a little bit guilty in punishing an MMO for the fact that it's running relatively smoothly. I just struggle every fortnight to find anything particularly interesting to talk about with Guild Wars 2 because they do their updates on the fly. You don't tend to hear about them till after the fact. There's the odd snippet of information here or there, but there's just not a lot to talk about, and none of us also play it heavily. I've played probably half an hour of it in the last fortnight, and I know you guys didn't get a chance.
I forgot my password.
That never helps.
No.
So unless we hear something else, this will be the last Guild Wars 2. So we'll focus on Star Wars The Old Republic, WoW, Secret World, and Marvel Heroes was always an intention to cover, and it's starting to ramp up a little bit with news. So they'll be the four unless we hear otherwise. But while we're here, the only thing is there is an invite a friend weekend this weekend, which you'd have to get in. Actually, by the time you hear this, you'll only have probably 10 or 12 hours to have a go, but they have opened it up to invite a friend. And then there is the new content that went live. Now you're testing me. Oh, yes, the Lost Shores event. So it went live over the past, or later, God, what am I trying to say? Wednesday or Thursday of last week it went live. And there's quite a bit of new content in there, new stories, a new dungeon, Fractals of the Mists. There's a bit of stuff in there. So they're plodding away, and I've not heard anything about subscriber numbers, but they seem to be doing well. Any comments from you two to wish Guild Wars 2 farewell?
No, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I think it's an absolute feature. It's great. Christy, nothing from you?
No, I'm kind of missing my little char here. I don't know why, but it's like I'm never going to play my char again. But no, I will. I promise my little char. Isn't it cute?
Yeah, I think we'll still mention the game, and I know I intend on keep logging it. It's a nice game to jump in and out of if you've only got 15 minutes. So if I've got 15 minutes for an evening before I need to do something else, it's the game I'm most likely to just jump in and do a bit of mucking around for a while, and that's one of its strengths. So we'll still definitely talk about it, and any big news we'll cover, but we probably just won't have a set segment.
Yeah, I think actually the reason that we all like it, we all intend to play it again, but we don't feel any urgency, and that's the beauty of and the curse of, I think, the non-sub setup that they're using. Because we're not paying $15 a month, we don't feel that compulsion to get in there.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, and yeah, it's going well though. So again, feedback, post a comment on the podcast post for this episode, or drop us a line and all the contact details in the podcast. But otherwise, we'll wave goodbye to the segment. So let's jump then straight across to the secret world. It's been a big week in the secret world, or big fortnight, because they've had the episode 4 content go live just again late this week, just gone. And so episode 4 is called Big Trouble in the Big Apple, and there's been a whole bunch of stuff, but there's been a particular focus on PvP upgrades or updates. And I know we posted on the site, and I have a link in the show notes. So I'm going to cover off a bit on that, and then Christy and Simon, get your thoughts on other aspects. So as far as PvP, they've really done a grounds up, not rebuild, but just an assessment, because there's been a lot of criticism. And I'm the first to say I've not done any PvP in the secret world, and I'm guessing neither of you guys have either.
That would be correct.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll only cover this briefly, but I love my WoW PvP, but not, I haven't done it in here. So to summarise what's hit with episode 4, there's improved rewards in Fusang. They've totally wiped out the white marks of Venice, which I'd like to pretend I'm more confident to know what they are, but I assume they're the currency to buy PvP gear. A new PvP mission called The Underdogs that helps factions struggling to be competitive. Now, this one I really like, and the video shows it from memory as well that they release, which is that if you're on a faction that's really getting its ass handed to us, that if you complete the Underdogs quest, you get this rather large robot's not the right word, but anyway, you get this rather large NPC that joins your side and helps you kick some butts with the other faction to even things up a bit. That I really like.
Is it a custodian? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think because it's the same ones that are in Agartha, aren't they? Sort of hanging around there yet.
Yeah, and if you want anyone on your side, it's one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, they're always impressive dudes. So I think that's great. It actually reminds me a little bit of the old WoW Alterac Valley, where you're able to, if you did particular quests and did some things, you could get a huge, if you're on the Alliance side, a huge tree, and I think the Horde could do the same. That helped even things up a bit. There's cross-dimension PvP in Fusang now, and they've also made some changes to matchmaking, people looking for PvP matches. So it's just, I know we've said it in previous episodes, I nearly called them ArenaNet, Funcom. Funcom are still, and Joelity's team are still doing some really full-on content updates there, and straight on the back of Halloween, they've knocked out episode 4. So I think that's impressive on its own. Simon?
Yeah, I agree. If you do nothing else, watch the video, because they have really done some massive work. I think it's fair to say. I mean, the whole PvP has been reworked and retooled and just beefed up. So there's a lot more content in there. They've brought the reticle in, which has happened sooner than I expected. Didn't expect it in issue 4, but that's welcome. That's, I think, going to give some added flexibility to the UI for certain types of players and certain playing styles. So that's awesome. I don't know why, but the Albion Theatre is something that I really, really like the idea of, and I'm hoping that they might come up with more stuff like this. For those of you that don't know, basically the Albion Theatre has opened in London, and you can actually, or your group, or your
Cabal.
Cabal, thank you. I was going to say cartel. can rent the theatre and you can put on a show. I don't know whether it's you're putting on some sort of Rockettes thing or a little bit of Shakespeare, or I don't know. It can be anything. You can buy props from the cash shop. You can win props doing certain missions. That, I think, I'm a big fan of user-generated material. And I think potentially, because anyone can actually go and watch one of these productions, if you're in that dimension, you can go and watch it. I think there's a lot of potential there for people just to get creative, and because when you have these sorts of things, people tend to do things that the creators never expected.
Yeah.
And that's one of the beauties of these sorts of things. So if they can start producing things like that, then that's one of the things that's really driven Eve for as long as it has, for as well as it has, is it the user-generated material. I mean, that's what kept Star Wars Galaxies going for as long as it did. It wasn't because the game was awesome. It was the user-generated material, because they're both sandbox games. So if they can add more of this sort of sandboxy elements to the Secret World, I think that's just going to give it just another point of differentiation.
Yep, agreed. I'm like you. I love the sandbox stuff and the user-generated. And I mean, for a lot of years, and I still dip in and out of Second Life. Second Life as a virtual world, that's all it is user-generated, and that's its main strength. And so the trouble I probably had is with the video they've shown the Albion Theatre, it reminded me a lot of Second Life, but without as much flexibility as what Second Life gives. So I worry about, and I haven't done it, so I'm talking from ignorance here, but I mean, are you able to, how do you add voices? So what I'm getting at is I can see that if you can dance around and have costumes and music and stuff, you can do a performance, but how do you actually do new content? Is there voice within the Albion Theatre?
That I don't know.
No, I don't know either. To me, that would be the make or break. I mean, sure, you can give people if you've got a big vent account or a Mumble or whatever, you can get people to log in and they could do the voices, and there are a whole bunch of ways you could do it.
Mm.
It just looked a bit cheesy on the video, but yeah, I'm hopeful too, because it's bloody innovative and a lot of MMOs could learn from it. So he's hoping. Christy, have you had a look at that yet?
I haven't, no, but I really, really want to. Theatre was something that I used to, back in the days of MUDs, you know, where obviously it's text-based, so they had a lot more freedom. And I love seeing that the stuff from MUDs is actually coming out for reals. I'm just having a look. It does say that you can say and emote commands.
Oh, so, yeah, sorry.
I'm assuming it's going to be text say, voice say. So,
yeah, sorry, that's the silly thing I've forgotten, that obviously you can do the text stuff, and it's a big ask to expect voice, but that would be the next step if they wanted to make it a huge thing. But, I mean, for me, you're right, it'll be the live performances, and what'll really get the interest going is seeing some great machinima coming out of it. So people doing good shows, capturing that and getting it up on YouTube or Vimeo or whatever, and that's what'll spread the word about the game.
Yeah, definitely.
It would be awesome if someone could do like Clear Skies from Eve, if they could do something of that level through the theatre and then post it on the internet. Please do that.
Absolutely.
And hey, we could podcast from the theatre.
Yeah, actually, we should have to look at that. I agree. Christy, any other impressions of episode 4?
This is a good episode for me. I haven't been able to play it much because I've been focusing on the Star Wars stuff, and it seems everything happened this week. Even Terra released a limited time trial. So I was like, what is it with everyone this weekend? But the raids has actually made me decide that I'm going to focus, and I'm actually going to level 1 character instead of keep jumping between societies. But that being said, when I first read about it, I'm like, I'm going to go dragon. And then they released the rewards from the Halloween. So the Templars all got their kitty cats. So now I'm on my Templar again. So sometimes I think I just should give up. And the starter packs are being brilliant. I've been looking in on them. And unfortunately, I can see myself wanting to unlock them all. So doing the whole inner wheel thing before starting on the outer wheel. So I'm probably the worst person to play the Secret World because I have no focus whatsoever. And unfortunately, there's no deck for Blade and Assault Rifle, which is my favorite combo, but it seems they're never going to get a deck. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into it and getting up to raids and enjoying that because raids is something I've always wanted to do, but I never have.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly done dungeons, but not raids. And I did I only probably had a couple of hours in the Secret World this past fortnight, and half of that was doing a couple of dungeons, which is always fun. But you're right, the raiding is something I think I would love to check out. So I think we've said it every episode for the last four. If you're still umming and ahhing about checking this game out, you really need to do it because it's more than worth it, particularly if you've got any time off over Christmas and New Year. Just, you know, sign up for a trial and check it out. Anything else on Secret World, guys, before we move on?
You can adjust your height now. I don't know whether you can with the existing characters, but in character creation, you can change your height. I think that's a nice little addition. It, you know, it's not body type 1, 2, 3, and 4, but it's still good.
Yeah, it's coming along nicely. And I tell you what, if they keep up with these content updates at the pace they are, they're going to have one hell of a game in a few months. Well, they already
It's impressive. Considering they've got more a much more limited resources than certain companies that I won't name BioWare. Go on.
No, nothing.
Oh, right. It's just the output has been very impressive. Granted, they probably had a lot of this stuff in the works for a good year probably, and it's all part of a program release schedule that they had lined up for launch. But still, it's impressive that they were able to get it to a finished state and implemented on the schedule they said they were going to after that initial hiccup.
And my guess is their engine's a hell of a lot more responsive than what BioWare are having to wrangle.
Yeah, I think they're regretting picking Hero. They basically had to redo the whole thing, and it's still clearly not working as well as it's supposed to. And let's face it, no one likes seeing all the plant life popping out of the ground about 10 metres ahead of you. That gets old real quick.
I agree. Yes. So Secret World rocks.
Yes.
So let's do the second final one because we'll talk about Marvel Heroes, but let's do some WoW time. Although a bit like Guild Wars 2, this one's going to be a short one this week because Christy and I were talking before the show and we've both been monkeying around mostly in WoW. Though now that I've hit 90, I've been doing lots of heroics and gearing up to raid with my guild, which is good, and started doing some rep leveling with the Order of the Cloud Serpent at the moment. So that's all going well, but Christy, tell us about your monk and what you've been doing in WoW.
I'm really enjoying the monk. I created it way, way back when, Pandas first came out, but I kind of ignored it for a lot. I don't know why, but I got into my head that I had to have the heirloom staff before I was going to play her after she got out of the starter area. So I finally got the heirloom staff, and she's almost level 30 now, and I've been doing the pet battles as I go, which has been really fun, actually. It's a nice little distraction in between things because, let's face it, sometimes killing 20 wolves is quite boring. Mm. But I'm just the animation. I know it's really silly, but it's so much fun.
Yeah, no, the animation, it's not silly. There's a lot of comments around the fact that the monk just looks cool in the way it fights, whether it's DPS healing or tanking, it just looks good.
Yeah, I'm doing DPS spec. I was going to do tank spec and level through dungeons and things like that, but I chickened out. So I'm kind of disappointed because I would have liked to have tried them, because from what I'm seeing, each of the specs play quite differently compared to, you know, like, say, a priest shadow versus holy. You know, I mean, it's healing, but it's still essentially the same thing. I'm just talking out of my ass now. But, yeah, I want to change it to tank actually when I get up to the dual spec and do some dungeons and hopefully don't kill anyone.
Well, they do some mean work. I mean, I've got a priest healer that I've got up to level 82, and I was playing it just about half an hour before we started recording the podcast, and I just did a cataclysm random heroic, and there was a monk tank, and it was in Blackrock depths, and it was just kicking ass. It was just totally wiping through the content. So I don't know whether it's OP at the moment or whether this guy was just very, very good, but yeah, it seems like a nice little spec.
I think it depends on your play style. From what I've been reading through it, it sort of suits my play style versus, you know, because I've tried tanky on a paladin before and I find it somewhat boring. Mm. So I'm really, really looking forward to trying out tanky on the monk. It sounds like one of those ones that if you play it well, it's awesome, and if you don't play it well, it's not going to work.
Exactly right. So, yeah, we've been monking. I mean, my monk, which I've called, because my main character is Wheeze and Henry, then I have Heal and Henry and a bunch of other Henrys, but I have Aumin Henry, so Aumin Henry is my monk, and he's going to be a healer. So, but I've only got him up to about level 6, so long way to go. But good fun.
Very much, Lee.
Simon, anything on WoW, mate?
Nerf monks.
Well, I think it'll happen. It'll definitely happen.
Oh, you know it will.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, and Blizzard are still on track for releasing 5.1. It seems like it won't be that far down the track, maybe a month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And as we mentioned last fortnight, they're already talking about the following expansion. And the only other thing I wanted to mention briefly that's more Blizzard than WoW is... kind of my attention last night, there are, and not surprisingly, there are a bunch of fan sites out there already for Blizzard's long-awaited Project Titan, which, for those that aren't aware, is the next big MMO that they're working on, and it's very top secret, and there's only been tiny snippets of information released, but nothing that gives you a real idea what's going on. So they've been in development for about 4 years. And there was an interview just in the last with Rob Pardo, who's quite senior in Blizzard, saying that it's still got a ways to go. So we definitely won't see anything next year, and I'd be surprised in 2014. So my guess is late 2014, early 2015 for release of that. But there are already a bunch of fan sites slogging away, trying to report on essentially no news. So lucky them that they'll be around. And we'll.
Here's the question, though.
Yeah.
Will it be sub or free to play?
Yeah, well, that's an extremely good point. I would have thought they'd go sub initially, just given that WoW's still nailing along at 9 to 10 million subs. You'd at least give it a go.
I reckon they should do a $20 sub per month for WoW and the new game.
Absolutely.
I reckon they get people to buy that.
I would totally do that.
I think it'd be nice if companies, especially when they start releasing more than one MMO, to have a joint subscription. Didn't Sony do that?
Yeah, there is. I think there's like a station pass, and that gives you access to all of their games, all the SOE games.
Yeah, there's lots of models out there, and you're right. By the time this comes out, who knows what they'll do? But the odd snippet I was reading last night. It seems a bit combination of medieval stuff and modern day stuff and science fiction stuff. So buggered if I know what they're coming up. Maybe it's another secret world.
Oh,
could be. But whatever happens, it'll be covered by OceanicGamer.com.
Oh, absolutely. And just because I'm a rabid Blizzard fanboy, you can guarantee it.
Well, they just keep doing stuff right. I mean, what the hell? Why not?
Exactly. So that'll do for WoW. And then the last thing, and I don't have a nice little musical snippet for it, but I'll have to get onto that, is Marvel Heroes. They released a nice developer blog post this week, which didn't show a huge amount more information, but it was devoted to the issue of story. And is it Mark Miller? Who's the chief writer? Who's the big comic guru that's writing a lot of the stuff on this?
Oh, what? Kick-ass Mark Miller.
Yeah, anyway, I feel really bad now. It's on the video, but it's one of the big comic gurus. I mean, I'm a comic tragic. I should know this. But whoever they've, I think it is Mark Miller, that they've got to write the dialogue. He was talking about there's sort of over 9,000 pieces of dialogue they've had to write for the game, and that even if you click on, you know, a character, they'll have between sort of 50 and 100 things I'll say to you. So it's difficult to get, you know, too bored with them and that sort of stuff. So the video shows a lot of talk with Mark Miller. God, I'm going to be an idiot if when I get off this podcast and it's not Mark Miller. But there's a lot of talk from him. There's the odd bit of gameplay, and you hear some of the dialogue, some of which sounds very comic-y, but in a cheesy way, which you'd expect. But it's just looking good. I'm bloody excited about that one. I know, Simon, you are.
I am. I'm just looking for more substantial news than new alternate costume reveals.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah, more meat, please. I mean, okay, we know Victor Von Doom is the chief villain, but just give me an invite into the closed beta, damn it. I've been...
Agreed. And been I thought I'd signed up for the beta, but realised I hadn't, so I've only signed up this week, so I haven't got a hope in hell. But
I wouldn't worry about it. I've been signed up since the damn thing went live and nothing yet.
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind.
But we'll definitely be covering that one. Christian, oh, yeah. Have you had a look at that at all?
Yeah. I'm one of these people eagerly awaiting a sign-up, although I'm not too happy about the Hawkeye costume.
Yeah, I knew that was one of the – I've seen a few stories on that this week. I actually don't mind it. But I grew up with the awful purple costume during the 1980s, so anything's an improvement on that abomination with the big pointy eyebrow things on it.
Yeah, all my Hawkeye comes from Avengers.
Yeah.
Look, I'll have you know that it took me ages to craft a pretty reasonable replica of Hawkeye's abomination costume in DCUO. So,
oh, really?
I have a number of Marvel lookalikes running around in that game.
That's funny.
I'm not the only person that's thought that. There's like Marvel guilds in there. So it's a matter of seeing whose Deadpool looks the best.
And I should have a fashion contest or something like that.
It can get a bit that way because there's an awful lot of costumes, and the customization for the costumes is pretty potent. The fact that what you're wearing isn't tied to the gear you're using.
Yeah, I think the same will happen in Marvel Heroes. Well, sorry, there's not as much customization in Marvel Heroes, but if they could, you'd have people doing DC guilds in there. That's just the way it is. And Image guilds as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and we don't have a release date on that yet, do we, Marvel Heroes?
No, we don't.
No. But
I'm hoping something will come out because City of Heroes is going to be gone in a couple of weeks, so we need more hero MMOs out there.
Yeah, no argument there. So that's the MMO sphere covered as much as we cover it. Anything, Christy, anything you wanted to cover in addition?
No.
There you go. That was a nice final thing. Simon?
No. Halo 4 looks pretty awesome. I haven't tried to play that yet, but I wonder. I'm thinking of cloning myself so I have enough time to play all the games I want to play.
That's the issue. And I tend to have this thing, even with MMOs, I go, well, over the last fortnight, what was I most excited about? Because that's what I spent the most time in. And it's, you know, which one misses out the most. And it's definitely Guild Wars 2. and unfortunately, The Secret World in the last fortnight. I've done more Star Wars than WoW, but yeah, you're right. It's only so much time.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you to you both as always. If you'd like to give us feedback, whether it's on whether we continue Guild Wars 2 coverage or anything else, drop us a line at contact@oceanicgamer.com or our Twitter handle, which is TheOceanicGamer. Same for our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. And next fortnight, we will have one of our most devoted listeners and one of our most committed writers on the website, aside from present company, of course, Matthew Scope Pierce will join us to talk World of Tanks and also Star Wars The Old Republic. So he'll be a guest next fortnight. That said, Matthew, I haven't checked this with you. I just know you were keen. So sorry if in 2 weeks doesn't talk. I mean, it doesn't suit, in which case I'll retract that in a fortnight. But so we'll be back with a four-way conversation in a fortnight. Goodbye to you both.
Goodbye.
And we'll see you in a fortnight.
See everyone.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.